We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 10, The Battle Between the Demigods and Ritrasura. And the verse today will be number 10, 6-10-10, translation. This body, which is eatable by jackals and dogs after death, does not actually do any good for me, the spirit soul. It is usable only for a short time and may perish at any moment. The body and its possessions, its riches and relatives must all be engaged for the benefit of others, or else they will be sources of tribulation and misery. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Similar advice is also given in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.22.35. Etavaj junmasa palyam dihinam ihadihishu. Pranar artar diyavacha shriya acharanam sada. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. This is the mission of life. One's own body and the bodies of his friends and relatives, as well as one's own riches and everything else one has, should be engaged for the benefit of others. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 9:41. Bharata bhumite hoila manusha janma jar, janma sarta kari karo paru upakaru. One who has taken birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. The word upakuryat means parupakar, helping others. Of course, in human society, there are many institutions to help others. But because philanthropists do not know how to help others, their propensity for philanthropy is ineffectual. They do not know the ultimate goal of life, shreya acharanam, acharanam, which is to please the Supreme Lord. If all philanthropic and humanitarian activities were directed toward achieving the ultimate goal of life, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would all be perfect. Humanitarian work without Krishna is nothing. Short quiz, humanitarian work without Krishna is what? Correct. Krishna must be brought to the center of all our activities, otherwise no activity will have value. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Gaur Prema Nande Haribo. What is the time factor? Oh my God. Okay. Well, I'll just make a few remarks and then we can have a discussion because we're almost out of time. This verse was spoken by one of the great heroes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who had been asked for his bones in charity because the demigods needed a solution to a problem that they had, which was that they were being attacked by a demon, Vritrasura, and they had no recourse. So the Supreme Personality of God had suggested that they get a donation from a great personality whose body had been fortified by the Narayana Kavacha. And this is a little bit of a hard thing to ask for, apparently, because who comes and asks for charity and then says, I'd like to have your bones, please. And it was known to the demigods already that Dadichi, who would be the donor, would give a little bit of a protest. He would protest just so that they would speak to him about self-realization and the fact that the body is temporary anyway. And then he would give his bones in charity. And that's what's happening here. And now Dadichi would is telling why he's giving away his body in charity. So this is a very important principle for those who want to be successful in life and happy, as is pointed out by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. And this is what I like to call the doctrine of preemptive giving. And that means that everything that we have now, including our bodies, and then naturally that would include any kind of wealth that I think I have, and any other kind of possession, is going to be taken away. Not only is it going to be taken away, it's fallible. Deha patra kalatra deshu atma saini sasatsupi tesham pramato nidhanam pashana pina pashyati. At the outset of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj that all the things that you have in your life that you think will protect you are actually fallible. They won't protect you. Not only that, you won't be able to keep them. They're temporary things. At one time or another, they'll go away from you, whether you like it or not. So now an intelligent person will understand that if I wait until it's taken from me, then I get absolutely no credit at all. Because that happens to everybody. Animals, human beings have their bodies at one time or another unceremoniously snatched from them. And there's really nothing you can do about it. And Krishna points this out in the Bhagavad Gita, that this is the most inevitable thing you have in your life. That as soon as you're born, then you start to die, and death is inevitable. You have to give it all back. And therefore, one who's intelligent will preemptively give away everything so that he or she gets credit for it. Because really, death means being attached to something, or at least the pain of death means that I'm attached to all my things. And when they're taken away abruptly, then I become concerned. And, well, concerned's not the right word. I'm devastated. What is it? Bewildered, yeah. Many adjectives we can put in. And however, as Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, you should cheat death before death cheats you. So this is a good way to live your life. Cheat death before death cheats you. If you die to the world before death comes knocking at your door, then when death does come knocking at your door, there's nobody home really. And it's the joke is on death, not on you. Mrityu sarva harashchaham, Krishna says, this is a form I come to for people who are attached and they don't take the trouble to think about what kind of situation they're in here in the world, and then to use all their wealth and words and life properly, give it away for a higher cause. So that's why Didichi is a great hero. He's setting an example for anyone who would like to set out on the right path in life by thinking things over carefully and then giving them away. Now, of course, the Vedas, the Upanishads, all the Srimad Bhagavatam is strenuously mentioning this point again and again. For instance, the Sri Upanishad says, Kurvani viha karmani jajiva shekshatam samaha evam tvai nanyate tosina karma lipite nare, which means that if you live with this principle that everything is meant to be sacrificed for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's the Ishavasya spirit, everything belongs to him, should be used in his service, you can use things, those things which are set aside as your quota, tena tyaktena bunjita, but everything else can be happily given, sacrificed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if you do that, then you won't be bound to this world. Kurvan eviha karma jijivishek shatams evam tvai nanyate tostina karma lipite nare. The translation says, there is no alternative to this way for man. No alternative. So, other verses, as I said, there were many. Labvam sudurlabam idam bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apihadira turnam yateta napateratam mritya yava nishreyasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. This verse comes in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it says, that's, it's very rare to get a human life. You get it after a long time in the cycle of birth and death in lower species. And human life is special because it is artadam. It can bestow upon you the highest value in life. But it's temporary. Keep that in mind, those two things. You can get the highest value, but it's very temporary. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. Like a little drop of water on a lotus leaf can slide off in any minute. I don't even know how temporary it is. So the idea is that as soon as you figure this out, says the verse, you should use your body and all your possessions as soon as possible to endeavor for the highest cause, Shreya, to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And don't worry about sense gratification, it says, because it's available sarvatra, everywhere, and to everyone. If pigs can have it, why should you want it? And therefore, it said, don't try for sense gratification, because it's available to the lower animals. Try for perfecting your life. And so, this, in the purport, we have a verse from Krishna himself who speaks that gives his advice to his friends, the cowherd boys, just as they're approaching the brahmanas who are performing a sacrifice, and they're about to ask them for charity. Because the cowherd boys claim to be hungry. Actually, they're worried that Krishna and Balaram are hungry, but on a pretense, they say, you know, we're hungry, we should have something to eat. So then Krishna enacts this pastime where he tells his friends that you should go to the brahmanas who are performing a sacrifice. There's an interval within the sacrifice where you can now ask for some charity, and they should be able to give it. And he says to them, etavaj janmasapalyam, this is the purpose of human life, that is, Dehinami hadehishu. Pranar artar dhyavacha shreya acharanam sada. The archana, the achar, the behavior of a human being should be to pranar artar dhyavacha. So pranar means to give your life heirs. Pranar arta, which means wealth. Dhya, which means your intelligence, and vacha, words. Jiva Goswami says this comes in chronological order because the best thing is you give your life. Next best is you give your wealth because that's almost like your life to most people. Dhya, your intelligence, you should figure out, use your intelligence to think about how to do good for others. And vacha, use your words, finally. But all of them are good. Krishna recommends that you use all these things, dehinami hadehishu, to help people, other people who are embodied, to get out of the predicament that they're in. That's the purpose of life, in case anybody wanted to know. It's good information to have, because most people have no idea that that's the purpose of life. But it does solve many problems, because we have to use our faculties, our intelligence, we have to use our wealth anyway. And if we know how to use it properly, then we'll be happy. That's the sum of the substances of this purport. So that Krishna sends his friends to the brahmanas, and of course they ignore the cowherd boys, even though they say that they're on a mission to get food for Krishna and Balaram in the forest. Anyone who goes and asks for charity knows what this feels like. If you go and ask somebody for a donation, for instance, and they ignore you, like they pretend you don't exist, how does that feel? I'm seriously asking, not rhetorical. What? Not nice? Yeah. So, it's not very nice. Actually, the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference, said a great scholar one time. And the whole material world is a world of indifference. So that can be expected. But actually, when one does go ask for charity, Krishna is advising that you should know that it's very hard to give charity for people. So when you ask, you should remember that it's hard for people to give. And for givers who are being asked, you should remember how hard it is to ask, so you should always give. It's a conundrum. But the fact is that they ignored them, and then the cowherd boys went to the wives of the Brahmins, who immediately dropped everything and ran to the forest to feed Krishna. And they were the heroes of the story, of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. This mood of giving and being ready to give, this is life. And this is the Krishna consciousness movement. It's really about organizing in such a way that we can give to the human society as much as possible through our wealth, through our prana, arta, dhyā, our intelligence. We think about ways to help people. And vācha, our words. And so this is enacted very well through the Sankirtan movement. For instance, if one goes out and meets people to give them Krishna conscious literature and engages them in a conversation about the importance of life, it can make a difference in their lives. It can be a turning point for them. And it is a kind of sacrifice of one's energy. And it's a kind of worship of Krishna. This same mood, the mood of this verse today and of the verses I'm speaking about, comes up in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the churning of the milk ocean, just after the demigods and the demons churned the ocean. What's the first thing that came out? Yeah, everybody knows that. So the poison came out and the universe was threatened. And Lord Vishnu recommended that everyone go and approach Lord Shiva and ask him for protection. So they did. And Shukadeva Goswami, remarking on the way in which Lord Shiva was willing to help and did help save the universe by drinking the poison, said, Tapyante lokatapena sarava prayasojana parama aradhanam tadi purushasyakilatmana. The parama aradhanam, or the supreme method of worshiping the personality of Godhead, is to take some austerity on oneself for the sake of helping others who are suffering in the world. Tapyante lokatapena. The whole world is a place of austerity for everyone. It's the nature of the world. Lokatapena. So if one goes to other living entities with the idea of helping them, this is a very high kind of worship. And of course, there are various ways in which we can meet Krishna and commune with Krishna through the process of bhakti. But the highest method of worship is to find Krishna on the altar of the hearts of conditioned souls, and to, while one is in the process of giving them an opportunity to reconnect with Krishna. I mean, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that there's no one more dear to me than the person who teaches the message of the Bhagavad Gita to others. Of course, he says to devotees, and means we have to go out and find those who are devotees. And we have permission to avoid those who are not devotees. So that's good news too. We can let them be for now and think about ways, using our intelligence, that perhaps in the future they can take the process of Krishna consciousness. But this is a method of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's the best kind of puja one can do, is to avail oneself, take the austerity, to go out into the great unknown, and where one takes a risk, and approach all kinds of people and offer them the opportunity to read Krishna conscious literature. I mean, what could possibly be wrong with that? Books are such a sacred object. Even talking about secular books, libraries are really a place of worship in human society. And they're not even diminishing nowadays, even in the light of the emergence of electronic media. The book's not diminishing at all, according to recent studies. People revere the book, they revere the written word. And what to speak of, just yesterday, we had the opportunity to touch the Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada had brought on the Jaladuta to our heads. And I was just thinking, what a sacred object. Everyone should have the opportunity to see this book. And I was thinking that all the books that we have, including this one, is an expansion of those books that came on the Jalasutta. They're not any different. Departure eva hita shantanama bupetya dipayate vrivta heta samana dharma. Rama Samhita says there's one original candle, but it expands into multiple candles, just like Krishna expands from his original form, but all the other forms are also potent. So all these books are sacred objects. I was trying to fathom how sacred that object was that came on the Jaladutta, that Bhagavatam. And then I was thinking, well, we have warehouses full of them. And how did that happen? And what does it mean when one of them goes out into the human society, a person actually takes it under his or her arm and walks away with it? I don't have any idea what the Bhagavatam is. What to speak of people who are unacquainted? But the mercy that's being offered through our branch of the Sampradaya to give this kind of gift, Shishi Radhago Kalananda Ki Jai, Shishi Radhago Lakshman Hanum Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai, is immense. So this is a very practical way in which anyone can worship Krishna in the highest way, is to sacrifice his or her own peace of mind by taking a risk and going out and meeting people who didn't ask to meet you, and who were minding their own business, but you intervened. We intervened in their lives. It's recommended. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this. What do you think the song Udila Arunu Purababhagi? You know, it's about Mahaprabhu waking everybody up. I'm not recommending that necessarily in this neighborhood. But the spirit of that is, you know, Mahaprabhu went out everywhere and said, you know, wake up. So Maya Mugda Jivita Nahi Swata Krishna Gan. It's not automatic. It requires somebody to intervene. Krishna is not doing it because he's Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. So he leaves a huge opportunity for everybody else. So a couple of points, just because simple points are easier to take away than rambling dialogue. One point is the doctrine of preemptive giving. Subscribe to this. Give away before it's taken from you and see that actually your supply doesn't diminish. It increases when you give it away first. Be smart. Give away whatever you have. The prana, artha, diyavacha. You have your life. Give it away for the highest cause. Artha, your wealth. Give it away. See what happens. The most amazing thing happens when you give your wealth away. You're still alive. You know, people give in charity and they think I'm going to die because that's the primal instinct that unless I save everything and I have an immense amount of wealth, I will not survive in this world. But when you give it away, you realize I'm independent of these things. It's a kind of liberation that one gets. Dhya, using one's intelligence to think of ways to do good for others, is satisfying. Other ways, thinking of how I can get ahead in life, is actually very frustrating because it never works out somehow. At least it doesn't for me. And vacha, using your words, any word, Narada Muni told Vyasadeva, that isn't connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like a boat on water. It creates a situation for the mind, like a boat on water that's blown by the wind and it has no resting place. So marrying one's words to the serving Krishna and speaking about Krishna is the most important. So this is the first point. It's preemptive giving, give away. And the best way to do that is to join the Sankirtan movement and make a sacrifice. It's actually counterintuitive. The more that we do that, the happier we become. And the second point is that worshiping Krishna by on the altar of the hearts of conditioned souls is what's the best kind of worship. It's the parama aradhanam. And the kind of sacrifice one makes, tad vignanartam sa gurum evabhigachet samitpani shotriyam brahmanishtam. So the verse in the Upanishad says that one should immediately, as soon as possible, sacrifice one's life for the cause of Krishna consciousness, and one should approach a self-realized person with samitpani, which means firewood in one's hand. As I was thinking about the wood factor, the reason that a disciple in the previous ages would carry wood is because the guru would be using it for lighting a sacred fire and doing the oblations. However, we don't do that anymore because it causes black smoke. But very rarely do we do it. We light a fire. So then I was thinking how these books, they come from the same source. You know, these are all made out of wood. So if you carry these in your hand, it's the same spirit. And you're going and carrying wood for the guru. That's the idea. But if you carry books, they're made of wood also because paper comes from trees, and samitpani, you're carrying it in your hand. So this is a significant way. If you carry around big box of books, you can feel the weight of it. And this is a kind of service. You sacrifice your life air for moving them around and distributing them. This will be significant service. So now I'll take a few reflections. But before I do, I will tell you a joke. But it relates to the first point. What was the first point? the doctrine of preemptive giving. So there were two guys walking along the street. I don't know if it was London or Birmingham or wherever. I'm not sure. They didn't give me the details. And they got held up by a robber who said, give me all your money. And so the two people were friends. So one of the friends said to the robber, he said, no problem. We will give you our money. So please don't kill us. But he said, give me 1 second. And he pulled out his money and he turned to his friend and he said, Roger, here's the 20 pounds that I owe you. So this is the doctrine of preemptive giving. Before it's taken from you, but do it way before that. Okay, now we'll take a few reflections.